You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. This is Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Happy to be with you this morning, hosting alone. Father Greg is away. Wayne Majars is away. And we're going to be talking today about a very integral and critical part of the mission of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Catholic education. Just reading recently about the amount of money that Catholic schools save the public sector. Taxpayers would be dishing out an additional $1 billion just in the Chicago Archdiocesan area alone. The Catholic elementary schools save the taxpayers $694 million. The Catholic secondary schools save the public sector $306 million. $1 billion saved because of the dedication of teachers, principals, priests, sisters, and most of all, parents who supply the tuition money. Of course, the Catholic schools do it for a whole lot less than what the public sector would require. And we do it very, very well. We're going to be talking about that today. We have three segments to our program. The first is going to be focusing on the 50th anniversary celebration of Our Lady of Humility School in Chicago, in the Midwest Lake County area. Then we're going to talk about new technology and DePaul University's partnership with St. Benedict School in the city of Chicago. And we're also going to talk about a special scholarship program for young people from Chicago's inner city. So we're going to start off with the principal of Our Lady of Humility School, Mr. Patrick Brown. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Good.
Must good. Feel it's good great to know radio. You've got 50 years under your belt.
Well, actually,
of course, you haven't been
belt.
There for all of those. We assume.
Right, I'm a mere 42. However, the school just celebrated its 50th anniversary, and that was back on July 13th, and it was just a fabulous event and a great faith statement about the importance of Catholic schools to so many generations of people here in the region. In Zion Beach Park.
Well, I have a special connection with Our Lady of Humility because the woman who works with me, my associate director, Sister Peg Sholley, is a former principal of Our Lady of Humility, and she was part of this celebration at some point.
Yes, yes, and I know she, I've had a chance to hear her speak on a number of occasions and have always been impressed with her. She's a great example of what happens when we mix great academics and a real strong faith-based education.
And she speaks very fondly about her years at the school there, when the good sisters ran the show.
Yes, yes. It was interesting to me to see how many of them came back for the 50th anniversary. And, you know, the fact that in 1958, when we started our school, it was mainly staffed by Sisters of the Holy Child. And during the subsequent five decades, the school changed into being mainly populated by lay teachers. However, we still do have a nun on staff, and I think that really helps to give us a spiritual center to our day-to-day work.
Yeah, that's great. Well, tell us a little bit more about your school. Did you do anything to mark the 50th anniversary?
We did. Actually, we had a celebration. We had a small committee under one of our alums, Janet Jones, and my assistant, Pat Bonowitz, put together a committee of about five people, and they started about a year ago to get together an alumni database, and subsequently invited pretty much everybody who had graduated from our school. And on the 50th anniversary, we had over 500 people who came back to our elementary school. Father Minton, who was a graduate, also said the Mass for us. And, you know, it's interesting because it's one of those things that what I realized was how much a Catholic school means to people, and how many good memories were generated. And I think as we grow older, we really realize how indebted we are to those who have served in Catholic schools. And it's one of the things I try to reinforce with my teachers is that we have a great legacy here, And we are only here for a short period of time, but we honor that legacy by the work we do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm a product of Catholic education as well. I have wonderful memories. I value it tremendously. I know it's easy to sound a little bit elitist because it's not possible for everyone to go to Catholic schools. Both, you know, people couldn't afford the tuition. If everybody wanted to come, we wouldn't even have room for everybody.
Sure.
But I know the sacrifices that I make to keep my children in Catholic school. I know the sacrifices my parents made, although when I think back, the $2 a month that we were paying, I'm sure my dad thought that was a chunk of money. Certainly doesn't seem like anything now. But it's always happened because somebody was sacrificing. And, you know, I don't want to be too facile about this because, like I said, I know it's not within some people's range.
Right.
But if people can do it, it's certainly worth the sacrifice, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I think that it is a common sacrifice we make, everyone from our maintenance staff to our teachers to our secretary, the principal, and the parents. And I think it's that common sacrifice which we are all asked to make in connecting ourselves with the mission of the church. And, you know, it is difficult. I just received a letter this past Friday. I was, right before I went home, there was a family who had to send me an email saying that they would be unable to return because they financially were in difficult times. And, you know, at times that sacrifice does become too great. And I think we need to always be looking for ways to be helping our teachers so that they can continue to serve the church and also be helping our parents so that they don't have to be in that difficult situation.
And wouldn't it be great if every school could have a scholarship fund so that when a family like that who's been trying to keep their kids in the school comes and says, you know, we're falling short, that there would be resources to be able to help them to continue to keep their child within that Catholic context.
Exactly. And I think that's what we need to actually get to. Each of our schools needs to find those alums, find those people who do have means, because I think there's also a great wealth of people who want to be involved with something meaningful in life, and you know, perhaps they have more financial means than they do spiritual connectedness. And so one of the things we have as a responsibility as a school is to tell our story and to make sure that people know that there are families and that could use their help. Because I think ultimately everyone wants to be doing something meaningful, and one of the ways that many people can do that is by just contributing to a specific child's education.
The teacher who's worked longest at Our Lady of Humility, how many years has that teacher been there?
I would, about 25.
Wow.
Mrs. Mapplethorpe has been with us for quite a while, and definitely a person of mission and ministry. You know, the way
how could
she
be anything else? You know, to stick around for 25 years, my wife teaches at a school, and every year they get some nice young teachers, you know, fresh out of college, fresh out of graduate school. They teach 2 or 3 years, and always a percentage of them end up moving on to public schools because,
right,
you know, they're getting married or they're starting a family and they need to make more money.
Sure.
But then there are those who never move on, who stay year after year, making a lot less than they could in a public school, not because they're less qualified. Sometimes they're the best qualified. Someone like the teacher you just mentioned. What keeps them around? Why do they remain so invested in their Catholic school?
Well, I would say probably, you know, it's interesting. There's so many competing demands of our society. And, you know, financial demands that are placed on us from a day-to-day basis, especially, you know, in the past couple of years. But I think one of the things that has always kept those people involved with is that ultimately at the end of the day, no one's going to talk about how great their car was. No one's going to talk about how big their house was. What they're going to talk about is the difference they made in the lives of children and in families. And I think that if you can make the sacrifice, there is no greater job than that of a teacher in a Catholic school. And I think that at the end of the day, I would dare say that those people who do have to make the choice of going to public school, 99.9% of them look back on their days in Catholic school as a teacher and realized there was something very special here.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we need to move to a break, but stay with us, Pat. We're going to come back and talk to you a little bit more about some of the ways that you celebrated this anniversary. And we're also going to bring Paul Maloney on to talk about a big joint kickoff of the first day of school up in Lake County.
Great.
You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We'll be right back. Don't touch your dial.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North LaSalle Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith, AM 950, Relevant Radio, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're talking today about Catholic schools, and we've been talking with Patrick Brown, who's the principal of a school celebrating its 50th anniversary in the Archdiocese, Our Lady of Humility. Where are you located, Pat?
We're up there in Beach Park, which is a very small community between Waukegan and Zion.
Waukegan and Zion. And joining us now here in the studio is Mr. Paul Maloney, who's an assistant superintendent for Vicariate One. Paul, it must do your heart good to see a school celebrating a major anniversary like this.
Well, it's certainly terrific, and it's a testament to the dedication of the community as well as what Patrick was talking about, the mission buy-in and belief in the quality of education that we have to offer in our Catholic schools.
Amen. Pat, tell me, what special things did you do to celebrate this anniversary in terms of the school? Did you do any upgrades? Did you develop any new programs?
Well, one of the things that that we did was our Family School Association entered us in a contest. Our playground up here has been a constant source of nerve aggravation for the principal. It's a little dangerous, and so the FSA decided that the 50th anniversary would be a great time to try to connect the community to one of our needs, and we entered a contest through a company called Big Lots, and they made a video, and then notified all of our alums to show their support by voting online, and we had a big push to get all the alumni involved in voting for our school, and we were very, very fortunate because this was a national contest and had entrants from all 50 states, and our school, which is about 250 students, won $2,500.
All right.
And so we did that, and you know, one of the long-term programs that we're going to establish here is that with this alumni database that was put together for our celebration, we are going to start a development initiative of having an annual fund this year.
I hear you have a pretty idyllic setting, a campus-like setting for your school.
We do. It was someone's great wisdom. We have about 5 acres of land up here. It's beautifully kept by our maintenance staff, and it is a place where you really get in touch with just the beauty of God's creation.
Excellent. And did you do a technical improvement, upgrade your computer system or something of that nature?
We did. We also raised about $5,000, and one of our goals was to have technology not only, you know, sort of in a lab setting, but to put that into having teachers have access to that in their classrooms. And so one of our teachers, Peter Moores and Mrs. Kurtzholtz, and a small committee of people kind of looked at, okay, well, how can we spend this money to get the most bang for our buck? And we just had five new projectors that were purchased so that teachers can show the Internet in their classrooms as on a large screen, or to, you know, demonstrate some email programs, different things. The whole class can participate with the technology now. And, you know, we're in a 50-year-old building, so it was really this is a big plus for us.
Yeah. It wasn't too long ago that $5,000 would buy you about two computers.
I know.
Now you can do quite a bit with even $5,000.
You can, and because of the size of our school, we're able to share computers and technology very readily. It's our school is just a couple of hallways up here. It harkens back to a time when life was a little bit simpler and mission was a little clearer.
What, you sound like a proud principal. What are you proudest of?
You know, I'm proudest of working with my faculty. I mean, I actually look forward to coming to work every day.
Sounds like a good answer to me.
And
you might even have a donut on your desk when you get back to the office.
Yeah, I bet. But it's a you know, it's also wonderful to have a job that even after 20 years, I look forward to the first day of school and to working with people who are connected in a common mission.
And parent involvement, I'm assuming, is pretty high there.
Actually, it is. We've got a great parent relation, but one of the nice things also is that we do have a mandatory parent participation. So, you know, Dorothy Day was one that said, if you want people to feel connected to a community, give them a job. And every parent, every family here at school has a specific responsibility. We have people who fundraise for us. We have people who work in maintenance. We have people who staff the playground. But everyone feels connected.
Well, let's bring Paul back into the program here. Together with Patrick and 16 of his fellow principals, you had a big kickoff to the first day of school. Tell us about that.
Well, it was quite a celebration. It was initiated really by the Council One principals in Vicariate One. We have 33 schools in Vicariate One, 17 of which are in Council One Vicariate 1A. And Patrick was on the team to put that program together. And as you can imagine, and as you pick up from Patrick's enthusiasm and his articulation of Catholic schools, he's an extension of really those other 16, or I should say all 33 principals exhibit that sort of belief and enthusiasm for the mission of Catholic education. So it was a good day because we brought over 250 teachers together, as well as the principals, and the tribute to them is that Sister Mary Paul, our new superintendent of Catholic schools, was part of that kickoff and gave them a pep talk and information about her goals and direction that she wants the Catholic schools in this archdiocese to take. And there was a question and answer period, followed by a mass, and it was great spirit was developed, and that's a nice way to start a school year, you know, enthusiastic and positive note, and in our case, always a spiritual note. I was taken aback on that day of all of the teachers that were reverently listening and participating and saying, wouldn't it be interesting if corporate America could start their years and days like this? It's a special addition and piece that we have in as part of our mission and our culture here in the Catholic schools.
It's a great reminder why they're actually there. It's not just to teach math and English and computers.
And absolutely, and that was really one of the direct points that Sister Mary Paul brought up, is that the direct object of our work are these students from head to toe, as well as their mental, spiritual, and athletic, and all kinds of aspects of their life. We talk about the whole child in Catholic schools, and that vital piece of the Catholic spiritual faith foundation is an ingredient that one of the things you can't buy in another public setting, that's for sure, and that's unfortunate.
You know, I've yet to meet Sister Mary Paul. She was supposed to be here today, and then her responsibilities took her away. Tell us a little bit about her, and what difference does it make to have one of the sisters back in charge?
Well, Mary Paul is a seasoned educator. She was a president and a principal at the high school level, and did spend some time in elementary schools early in her career, she admits. But she brings about that wealth of knowledge in terms of education. But the real key is her enthusiasm, her love of children, her love of education, and her love of her Catholic faith. It certainly just was exuding from her on Friday and all the times that I've discussed with her. And she's a go-getter. She's got a light sense of humor, but when the chips are on the line, she's also there to play good, solid, firm hardball, if you will. So I look forward to working with her, and she's a very interesting and wonderful, wonderful woman.
Well, this event that kicked off school for all 17 of these vicariate schools, it really does sound like a brilliant idea. I think big events are important. You know, it's like when you have a rally before a football game. It coalesces all the energy of all the folks, and to be able to coalesce the energy around the beginning of school to get all the teachers enthused, I bet they don't often get a chance to meet each other, the teachers from different schools. It was probably a great opportunity to see, oh, look at all the dedicated people who work down the street at this other Catholic school.
Well, that's for sure. And, you know, in some cases, old acquaintances are brought together at these things, too. But you're right, bringing together and having a kickoff event where you can add ceremony to it, adds importance to it and signifies it and raises it up and sends a message that we're in this together, we want to work together, and our central focus is that of the students. And that was a day that was captured, that's for sure.
Yeah.
A unique opportunity.
Patrick, from your perspective as a principal, what was the value of this event?
The value of the event was, there were actually a couple of values, but one of the ones that I spoke of at the ending of the day was that, you know, at times, you know, there are a lot of good times in Catholic education. There's no question about that. There's a great spirit and a great energy. But, you know, when you're working in ministry, there are also challenges that every teacher and every principal goes through in the course of the year. And I think one of the greatest benefits to me was to say, you know what, we are all connected. And the 250 people in this room are connected. We're connected by a long legacy of, you know, saints and people who have served in Catholic schools prior to us. And so when we go through challenges as Catholics, we do so with a firm understanding that we are never alone. And I think that was one of the greatest things. You look out at that group and you think, this is amazing how many people are working on behalf of the church.
Well, on that note, we're going to end this segment. And we want to thank you, Patrick, for your great work up there in Lake County at Our Lady of Humility School. And we want to thank Paul Maloney for continuing to steer the ship through the Office for Catholic Schools here at the Archdiocese.
Thank you.
We'll be back
and
continue our conversation about Catholic schools. Don't go away.
Catholics understand the stories of creation in the book of Genesis.
What is the book of Revelation really about?
What do the prophets of Israel have to say to us today?
To think about the answers to these questions and many more, join committed Catholics in the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, the official Bible study program of the Archdiocese of Chicago. You'll learn the big picture of the Bible and grow your faith by reading and praying every book. Three classes for new students open in September in Chicago and in Tinley Park. To find out more about the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-243-3700. That's 312-243-3700 for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School. Come and share the word.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, AM 950 in Chicago. It's Monday morning. That's another great day to praise God through our lives. And the Catholic schools certainly do a great job of that. They not only live it each day, but they teach our young people to live it. They hand on the faith. That's one of the main responsibilities of our Catholic schools. In this next segment, we're going to be talking to a young principal. I can't tell how young, but if you could see her, you'd agree with me. Rachel Gemmo, principal of St. Benedict's School in the heart of the city of Chicago. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much.
And you're supposed to be at a faculty orientation. You've abandoned your teachers.
Yes, I know. I put the trust in them that they're going to keep the work going as I'm sitting here chatting with you this morning.
Well, if you all are listening, teachers of St. Benedict, God bless you. I used to teach right down the street from you at St. Gregory High School, so I know St. Ben's pretty well. Your school has become very technologically advanced.
Yes, in a very short amount of time.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, in August of 2006, we got word that the state of Illinois was looking for schools to pilot a program called the Technology Immersion Pilot Program. And the proposals were due at the end of August, and we got word of this mid-August.
Oh.
So with the help of my director of technology, Scott Bell, and I, we worked over weekend and just cranked this thing out, and we heard back from them right away, and we made it to the next level, and before you know it, we were one of 16 schools in Illinois to be able to pilot this program.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So what does it involve?
Well, essentially, the state gives each student in the middle school. We started with sixth grade in 2006, and then every year we've added another level of students on in this year, so we're going to be sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, a tablet laptop. And
a tablet,
yes.
So you can handwrite on it.
Yep.
Very cool.
So now we get to teach the old-fashioned cursive in the modern way. No, just kidding. But we have that, and the students can bring it from class to class. We have implemented a wireless environment in our middle school, so the students have wireless technologies.
For those who may not be real technologically savvy, what are we talking about when we say wireless?
Thank you. Wireless means that you have a computer, there's no wires connected to it, and the students can access the internet.
So you can get on the internet without putting a cable into your computer.
They can access it in the classrooms, the hallways, the lunchroom, wherever we deem learning to happen, and in the school it pretty much happens everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And the nice thing about it is that the students can then take the laptop home.
Mm.
So, if you really believe about lifelong learning, you know that learning doesn't happen when they leave the school. And they have access to all their information, all their projects, collaborative learning online when the school day is done.
I like to think I'm kind of technologically savvy, but how do tablet computers work? Do they have a keyboard?
They do have a keyboard, but they also have a stylus. Those who are not technologically savvy, it's like a pen. And the students can flip the screen around and actually lay it flat, and it works like a notebook.
Uh-huh.
So the students, if they were taking their notes in classes, they can actually handwrite it, and they can save their handwritten notes, and it actually comes up as their handwriting on the computer. And it actually, too, when you can actually convert handwriting to text as well. So if a student was handwriting, and then he or she wanted to turn around and turn into typewritten notes that can do that.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the keyboard, is it a virtual keyboard that's on the screen, or is it actually a separate
both.
Three-dimensional?
There's a real keyboard, and then there's one on the screen as
okay.
well.
So what difference are you seeing that the use of this technology is making in the lives of these kids?
Well, first of all, I think we're able to engage all of our learners. Because we've moved from more traditional lecture-based, teacher-centered classes, we've gone to more student-centered, project-based learning. And that helps all the learners, no matter if they're a student who is, very intelligent or a student who struggles, we can change the projects to meet the levels of those needs. And I was a middle school teacher myself before I became a principal, and I think one of the most challenging groups of students to engage were our underachievers, those students who are intelligent but just not motivated because we're just not getting them and we're not reaching them. And then technology is a wonderful motivator for our students. So again, we're able to engage those students. The other thing that I think has made a big impact with the difference in the kind of learning is that we're able to integrate the different disciplines that the students are exposed to in our curriculum. So we can integrate writing and math. We can integrate science and math. We can integrate our faith-based classes like religion with social studies and language arts. And the projects that the students are doing are deeper, and again, there's more authentic. We can actually see real learning. The students are able to apply what they're learning and doing to their own lives,
yeah.
Which is essential.
Well, that sounds incredibly exciting, and who would have thought 10 years ago that education was going to be moving in this direction? Well, we need to move to a break, so
okay.
We're going to take a short break right now. We're going to come back, continue our conversation about technology and Catholic education. Don't go away.
America, what have you done for your marriage today?
That's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back, Chicago. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. We're so grateful to have this opportunity to be with you every day from 9 to 10 AM. on this radio station, made possible by the generosity of Relevant Radio. We welcome all of our Catholic listeners, any non-Catholic listeners who are out there. We're glad you're tuning in. We invite you to check out your local Catholic church. And we've been talking with Rachel Gemmo, who's the principal of St. Benedict Catholic School in the city of Chicago, a very technological school chosen from many applicants to be one of 16 experimental schools doing technology from top to bottom. Every kid in the school has their own tablet laptop.
Every kid in the middle school.
In the middle school. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Everybody else is going to want them soon, though.
Well, they can't wait.
They can't wait. Yeah. Tell us, you're doing a portfolio assessment program. To me, that sounds like I can come to you with my pension plan and my investments, and you'll tell me what to do?
Not quite.
No?
But actually, you know, you had mentioned my faculty earlier in the segment that they're in servicing themselves today. And one of the things is this portfolio assessment project that my faculty has put together. And essentially, it's preschool through eighth grade in all the content areas, including all the enrichment programs that we do. And it was our answer to showing student learning in addition to standardized tests. I think we're in a standardized test crazy world right now. And I think it was really important to take the archdiocesan curriculum, the state standards, and really put together a program that measures students' learning with authentic pieces of student learning. And the real key to this program is that students throughout the year set goals for their learning. They reflect on their learning. And as you know, when you go home and you reflect on how you did today and what you did well, what you need to do better, you become a better learner. And our students really have embraced this. They get very excited about their portfolios. And I think the highlight for us is portfolio night in May, where our students sit down with their parents and they go through a whole year of learning.
Wow.
And they talk about their goals, they talk about what they've learned, and the parents are just, you know, just impressed with their kids, because, you know, so many times I think a parent can go end the school year and say, now what did my kid get this year, what did they learn? And here the students can talk about their learning, which makes them better learners.
Yeah. And so report card time is not a dreaded time, because you know how you've been doing all along.
Right, right. And actually, the way our report cards are situated, they in our progress reports too, they're all aligned with the state standards. So the report cards become an indication of how well the student is completing the portfolio by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that should really be what the goal is.
Yeah. Now, you're in partnership with DePaul University on this.
With many things. We are a professional development school for DePaul. We're one of six schools in Chicago that are part of something called the LINC Initiative, and this has been funded through Chicago Community Trust. And what it does is we basically teach and mentor new teachers or pre-service teachers, those who are doing their student teaching and their clinicals. In return for that, we get teacher learning support by university faculty. So if we need assessment and if we need teacher support in guided reading or reading practices, technology, assessment, all these different areas, math, we can call on DePaul faculty to support us. And all that is really to look at and to improve student learning preschool through high school.
Gee, I need to do some curriculum development for one of the programs I run. You think I could call on these good folks?
Oh, yeah.
They sound like they're generous.
You know, DePaul has been making it part of their mission to try to reach out more to the Catholic schools, too. There's a lot of good things happening in Catholic schools, and they see it, and I think they want their students to be a part of that.
Yeah, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I've seen that more and more. Notre Dame University, other Catholic schools, Loyola here in Chicago, really trying to make a contribution to the Catholic community. Mm-hmm. You know, in some ways, they're very Catholic, and they transcend their Catholicism because they serve the whole wider community. But one of the ways that they maintain that Catholic identity is by serving other Catholic institutions, and it's great to be the beneficiary of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been principal?
This is my fifth year. No, I'm sorry, I'm starting my sixth year.
Sixth year,
yes,
wow.
Yes.
You've been having fun?
Yes, I've been learning. Every day is a learning experience.
To me, being a principal seems like a tough job. You get all the bad news, you know, both from the teacher and from the student end. What's rewarding about being a great school principal?
Well, I'll tell you what, I am very blessed to be in the community that I am. And the students are awesome. My faculty is so hardworking, and they make my job very much easier than it can be. And my parents are my biggest cheerleaders. They really are supportive of the school. They embrace the kinds of things that we're doing. We're doing some very different things, and that can be scary for some parents, but they have jumped on and support us, and that is the most rewarding, knowing that I'm in the right place.
Yeah. What you got coming up for the coming year?
Well, one of the things, going back to the laptops, we are implementing something called Generation Yes. And essentially, our middle school students, because they have the laptops, they don't really need to have lab classes as maybe traditional technology instruction is delivered. So Generation Yes is basically teaching students how to work with teachers to integrate technology. So their project that they're going to be doing, they'll be assigned a teacher, and they'll have to sit down, and the teacher will say, okay, I'm reading, you know, Where the Red Fern Grows. I want to do something with technology. And the students are there to work with the teacher to help plan that unit and to help integrate technology, because our students have the gift of technology, maybe not so much our teachers. And what a great experience.
So in a sense, the kids are teaching the teachers.
They're working alongside with the teachers.
God bless
them. Yes, and what a great experience.
That's a bold initiative.
Sure. But, you know, going back to my staff, I think they're awesome. And they're the kind of staff that are comfortable with that. There's no ego here.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
That's exactly what struck me is these are humble people who are willing to have that give and take. You know, that in any classroom, there's always two sets of learners and two sets of teachers.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that experience of the students being able to work with an adult, it's that respect going back both ways. And, you know, part of our mission is developing, you know, challenging students to develop their gifts that they have. And this is one of those gifts. Students have this technology almost innate in them. Wi-Fi it. You know, let's use it as a resource.
Well, Rachel, congratulations on getting the confidence of the state of Illinois to give you this grant and the wonderful things that you're doing there with the school. Go back to your teachers. Have a great end of the in-service day and a great year. God bless you. Stay with us. We'll be right back with a final segment talking about a scholarship program that helps kids from our inner cities attend Catholic schools. Don't go away.
It's a guy thing. The 2008 Chicago Catholic Men's Conference will be held Saturday, September 6th at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. This is a conference of men, for men, and by men to explore what it means to be a Catholic man today. Representatives from the Archdiocese of Chicago, the Knights of Columbus, Focus, and many other groups will guide you on your spiritual journey. There will be several speakers, including a special presentation by Matthew Kelly and breakout sessions for discussion. We'll top off this day-long event with a tailgate-style dinner and social. This conference will open your eyes to a whole new look at life, religion, and the world. Once again, clear your calendar for Saturday, September 6th, and make your way to Rosemont. Register at www.itsaguythingonline.org or call 312-751-5288. That's 312-751-5288. Your faith, your church, it's a guy thing.
Do you want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God's Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God's Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552 or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. You're listening to Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We've been talking all morning about the gift of Catholic education, not only to the Catholic community, but to the wider community. We're saving the taxpayer here in the Chicago area alone $1 billion a year that would be coming out of the public coffers, out of taxpayers' pockets. Instead, it's coming out of the pockets of generous parents who are sending their children to Catholic schools and who are willing to pay the tuition because they believe in what goes down there. They believe in the dedication of the teachers. They believe in the quality of the education. Many of them experienced it firsthand as Catholic grade school and high school students themselves. So we're very proud to be talking about it. If you've got some stories to relate or an opinion to weigh in on, give us a call, 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. I'm very excited about this next segment because it talks about another very generous program that makes it possible for students who otherwise might not get the opportunity to attend Catholic schools. We have here in the studio Mr. Brian Parker, the Executive Director of the HFS Chicago Scholars Program. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us, first of all, what is the HFS Chicago Scholars Program?
The HFS Chicago Scholars Program is a scholarship program that allows many of the 8th graders who are graduating from elementary school to attend a private school by offering financial assistance. They go through an extensive application process. They get recommendations from their teachers, from their principals to apply for our scholarship. And we have probably on average the last few years about 100 to 110 applicants. And we take about 30 to 35 over the last couple of years.
Per year?
Per year.
That's excellent. Is this on a needs basis?
It's on a needs basis. We really look at sort of three things in no particular order. We are looking at those who do understand that their academic life is something important. So we are looking for those who are at least at the B average or above in their 7th and 8th grade years. We are also looking for those who have good test scores because that shows a good sense of aptitude and that they are willing to work hard. And then that last piece is going to be the parental support as well as the financial situation of the family.
Key, isn't that? Parental support makes all the difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. We tell our parents that once your son or daughter is accepted into our program, we accept the entire family.
Yeah.
And that's been true as we've had siblings over the years, and the parents have definitely been very appreciative of that.
Now, if I was listening correctly, you said for private education, not necessarily for Catholic education.
That's correct. By way of our mission, we do say that we allow the kids who want to who gain acceptance into a private school to attend. And a private school, by our definition, is any school, primarily here in Chicago, that charges tuition.
Yeah.
And as we know here in Chicago, the majority of the private schools, in a general sense, are the Catholic schools.
So what percentage of your students are actually attending Catholic schools?
I would say, without going through the list, I would easily say about 93% of our students are attending a private school or a Catholic school, yes.
Where did this fund come from? Who came up with the idea? Who provides the money?
Well, those are a couple of interesting questions. The first is, of course, how we came to be. And it all came from one person. His name is Michael Canelli. And at the time, this was in 1993, 1994, he was a parishioner at Holy Family Church. On the west side,
Roosevelt Road.
Roosevelt Road.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was at a at one of the services where Cardinal Bernardine happened to be presiding, and in his homily he was talking about, you know, giving back, and if you do have resources, whether it be time or money, to, you know, to give back to those who are in need. And Michael Canelli was very inspired by that, and so he went to the school, which is Holy Family School, which is right next door to the parish.
Let me start, Michael Canelli. Who is this guy? What does he do?
Well, right now he works downtown. He's a businessman, and right at the time he was doing the same thing. He was a consultant, and he was just someone that felt a need.
So he was just a guy. Somebody happened to be in church,
right,
and was moved by a homily that he heard.
That's right. So he went right almost immediately thereafter. He went to the school, talked to the principal, and says, "How can I help in some way?"
Yeah.
And the principal right away said, "We could really use some help with some of the kids who are having trouble with reading." It's a very multicultural environment they have at Holy Family, as you have the UIC campus. You also have the medical center just west of there, so you have a lot of multicultural environment there, and reading was something that was needed. So he was working at Arthur Anderson Consulting Company at the time, and he gathered a few of his friends. They would get on the bus during lunchtime. They'd take the bus to Holy Family School. They'd tutor there or help the kids read there for about an hour, get back on the bus, and go back downtown.
Wow.
And they did that for a couple of years until we got to one particular eighth grader who was in that reading program, was doing very well, and she was wanting to go to a private high school. She was unable to do so at the time because her family wasn't able to afford it. So the same people who were helping to tutor, basically they passed the hat and put a few dollars together so that she could attend Trinity High School.
Mm.
And that was really the advent of the scholarship element of the program.
Well, and so how is it maintained now? Are there fundraisers or is it through individual donations?
It's originally it was individual, as that's how it really started. We had a lot of people who were, you know, very sympathetic to the idea of allowing these inner-city kids who really would be at risk of, you know, educational, you know, progress to go on to a private school. So that's really a large portion still of our fundraising, where basically our board of directors, which numbers about 26 on our board, we basically, you know, we ask them to ask their friends and, you know, go back to their company. And we have also got a lot of corporate sponsorship over the last few years, so that's been exciting as well.
Yeah. Well, we need to move to a break, but I'm very excited about this. The difference that a couple of Catholic businessmen could make. You know, we often mischaracterize businessmen as, you know, focused on the buck and doing only for themselves. And here's some guys who did a great deal for others. We'll be right back after this short break, and we'll continue our conversation about this exciting scholarship program. Don't go away.
Catholic Charities is providing the community health fair with free medical services to Chicago area residents on Saturday, August 23rd at St. Francis of Rome School, 1401 South Austin Boulevard in Cicero. The health fairs are free to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Social service providers will also be on hand to offer a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to help these health fairs run smoothly. Please call Arlene Irvin at 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. Here's wishing you good health from Catholic Charities.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1. And Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, hosting solo today. Father Greg and Wayne are away, and we've been having a great time talking about Catholic education. Talking right now in the studio with Brian Parker, Executive Director of HFS, Chicago Scholars Program. Brian, HFS, what does that stand for?
HFS is, just to take one step back, we always have the sense of history, whether it be with the kids we're working with or if there's someone who has been consistently contributing to our program. We always want the sense of history that it's not just sort of one year, then another year. So the HFS really goes back to Holy Family School, which is where it all began. And we wanted to sort of keep that as part of our name, part of our mission, part of our everyday living.
And you said this program has been around for how many years?
It's been around for about 15 years.
15 years. So you went from a couple of businessmen to a board of 26 members?
That's correct. Well, then we have a whole list of volunteers, and we now have a staff of five. And so in a short time, we've done some great things, but also there's much, much more that needs to be done.
It seems miraculous in one way. On the other hand, it's just evidence of what a couple of committed people can make happen if they just decide to try to do some good and follow God's leading.
It's really amazing because, like, my office is, you know, it's an office in a building that's owned by St. Ignatius High School, which is right next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And through their generosity, they allow us to have space there. And really, that is HFS as far as the physical space. Everything else are the people. It's our staff. It's our volunteers. It's our families, our scholars, the high schools that we partner with. That really is the true sense of HFS Chicago Scholars.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of these kids who are the scholars and some of the schools they're attending.
Well, the current kids in the program, we're going to be starting this next school year, and one of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to be adding another 32 kids to our list, which will bring us just short of 90 as we start the school year in the next couple weeks. And they go to many schools. We had the principal of St. Benedict here, not too long ago, and she's the principal of the elementary school, and the high school is the one where we have some of our kids going. And actually, that's where my sons go. My sons go to St. Benedict as
well.
Very
good school.
And we also have students going to Gordon Tech High School, Holy Trinity, High School, Mother McCauley, De La Salle, both campuses.
Oh.
We have, the list just goes on and on.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to have a list like that where we're not just having kids going to one school, but they are all over the city.
What kind of outcomes are you seeing? Colleges that kids are choosing as they move through the program, their attendance as they go through high school, is this a program proving itself to really be a benefit for these kids?
And that's a great question because that's one of the things that people want. What are the really real facts? It's a nice, beautiful story and, you know, all this stuff, but let's get right down to it.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to say that of the last 15 years that we have been, you know, doing the scholarship program, 100% of our graduates have gone on to college.
100%?
100%. We have not had one person graduate as a senior as part of our program who did not go on to college.
Yeah.
And that continues just this past spring as we had our first double-digit graduating class go off, and they've gone to great places. They're going to Monmouth College, which is a place really without our help I don't think he would have ever even thought about. He wants to be a teacher, and Monmouth is one of the premier, you know, teaching colleges here in the state of Illinois. We also have people going to Champaign, which is a great state school. We also have one person going to Cornell. And he's excited. He's right there now as we speak.
Impressive.
So as far as the kids who are currently in our program, they come in, again, one of the requirements is that you have to be at least at a B average coming into the program. So our goal and our staff's goal is to maintain that, if not bring them farther up.
Yeah.
So right now, last year, we had about 65, 66 kids in our program, and their average grade point average was about 3.4 in their respective high schools.
If listeners want to help, what can they do? Who do they call? What website can they look at?
Well, they can call me, Brian Parker, Executive Director. They can call. And the number is 312-421-4070.
Give that to us again, please.
The phone number that you can reach HFS Chicago Scholars is 312-421-4070.
And what about a website?
We also have a website. It's sort of long, but easy to remember. The website is www.hfschicagoscholars.com, all together.
That is long. One more time.
The website for HFS Chicago Scholars is www.hfschicagoscholars.com.
Now, HFS, Henry Francis Steve, HFS, get those letters right, chicagoscholars.com. Tell us something about these students. You must get to know them personally. You have to interview them before they're accepted into the program?
That's correct.
As the executive director, what's the number one thing you're looking for in a kid that you're going to sponsor?
The one thing I'm looking for, and I don't do the initial interview, so I get the pleasure of sort of seeing them sort of in an informal way. But what I look for is are you willing to work? And that not only means in the classroom, but we also want someone who can take part in extracurricular activities, someone who has a sense of community involvement, and things like that. So I look for, are you willing to work? That's my number one.
Wow, that's wonderful. I'm very impressed by this program, and I wish you all the best of luck. So we want to thank Brian Parker, the Executive Director of HFS Chicago Scholars Program. We also want to thank all of the other guests that we've had on the program this morning, from Our Lady of Humility School, Mr. Paul Maloney, the superintendent, Assistant Superintendent for Vicariate 1, and Rachel Gemmel, the Principal of St. Benedict School. It's a lot of good news about the Catholic education in Chicago. I want to thank our producer, Ryan Blackburn, and our engineer, Mike May. You've been listening to Catholic Radio. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.